Hello, this is Paul Hood. The purpose of this podcast series is to highlight several demonstrated areas of significant disagreement among business appraisers that affect tax valuations as well as the general disciplines of business valuation as a whole. Most estate planners blithely believe that there exists a set of generally accepted appraisal principles that all business appraisers must follow. Unfortunately, the literature and the purported body of knowledge within the business appraisal profession are replete with disagreements, some bordering on vehement, on how to treat certain business valuation issues. Where a business appraiser stands on a particular valuation issue will affect a client's business appraisal report. A little Southern wisdom for you. Where you stand depends a lot upon where you sit. When there exists a professional dispute on a business valuation issue, you can bet your bottom dollar that the IRS or the opposing appraiser will be on the other side of that issue. Therefore, given the amount of valuation litigation, it is imperative that estate planners know where business appraisers stand on a particular issue before that issue is joined. This podcast discusses the following burning issue: whether or not to make certain normalizing financial statement adjustments when valuing a non-controlling interest. Not surprisingly, business appraisers differ vastly on this issue. When estimating the value of a non-controlling interest, should financial statement adjustments over which the minority owner has no control be factored in? Or should the normalizing adjustments be limited to those over which the non-controlling owner would have some control? This issue is quite important because, for example, adjustments to an income statement to normalize excess owner compensation could make a company worth significantly more than it is without that adjustment. Taub instructs analysts to make all adjustments, whether or not the non-controlling owner has any say-so. Mercer agrees with Taub and bases his theory on the fiduciary duty that majority owners owe to minority owners. Nevertheless, some business appraisers disagree about this. For example, Williams and Hitchner both believe that one should not make income statement or balance sheet adjustments that the non-controlling owner could not achieve on their own, such as excess owner compensation and other discretionary expenses, such as above-market rent, vacation places, and other perks, and that everything else should be handled by the discounts for lack of marketability or control. Moreover, they believe that these adjustments should not be made unless it is likely that the non-controlling owner will become the controlling owner within a short period of time. Here's an example to illustrate how stark the differences can be. Suppose the controlling owner overpays himself by $100,000 annually and takes out other excess perks worth $250,000 a year. Assume further that the company's net income without those adjustments in question is $650,000, but if the adjustments are made, the company's recast income statement reflects net income of $1 million. If there is a multiple of 5x net earnings for the valuation multiple, the difference in value at the enterprise level of the company is $3,250,000 without the adjustments and $5 million if the adjustments are made. This works out to $1,750,000 or 35% difference in enterprise value before application of discounts for lack of control and lack of marketability. This is obviously a substantial difference. One school would say to adjust out the excess $350,000 in normalizing adjustments, even when valuing a non-controlling interest, because of the fiduciary duty that majority owners owe to minority owners, and that these minority owners have a right to expect a well-run company like a public company, which has the effect of increasing the value of the subject company at the enterprise level. The other school says no, do not make the normalizing adjustments because the minority owner is powerless to stop the majority owner from enjoying these excesses, which obviously has the effect of depressing the value of the subject company at the enterprise level. I believe that the normalizing adjustments should be made, in large part because of the hypothetical nature of the willing buyer and due to the fiduciary duty that majority owners owe to both the company and to the non-controlling owners. That concludes this podcast series. In this podcast series, we covered 5 burning issues in business appraisal that affect your client's business appraisal reports. Discounts for lack of marketability methods, applying a discount for lack of marketability to a controlling interest, discounts for built-in capital gains, tax-affecting S-corporations, and this podcast, which dealt with whether or not to make normalizing adjustments when valuing a non-controlling interest. I'm interested in any feedback you may have on this podcast series or the book that I wrote with Tim Lee, which discusses these issues and much more. The name of the book is A Reviewer's Handbook to Business Valuation, published by John Wiley and Sons. Feel free to email me at paulhood@acadiacom.net. That's ACAD as in David, IACOM as in Mary, .net. Or call me at 504-452-7574. Thank you for listening.